Good morning. It's a blessing to be here with you all again this morning. Let's bow for prayer. Father, here we are again, desiring to learn more of you, desiring to understand your will for our lives. So we ask, teach us and direct us and help us this morning. Lord, as we look around to the world and the things around us, help us to keep our focus not on those things, but on you. Again, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love, your blessing, and your direction in our lives. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I hope you all can read it. It's a long ways to see it from back there. But that's what I'd like to speak about this morning. In the children's lesson this morning, we heard about doing good things to people as well as doing bad things to people. And he was having a little bit of a problem having, you know, raised hands as to how many have done bad things. I'm going to ask you this morning, how many of you have attitudes? Do you all have attitudes? And I'm not just talking about bad ones either. I'm talking about good ones too. So you can have good attitudes and you can have bad attitudes. And you can have good concepts and you have wrong concepts. Let's turn to Judges chapter 15. Judges chapter 15, this was after Samson had married a Philistine woman, left, and is now coming back. It says, but it came to pass, this is Judges chapter 15, verse 1. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of the wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and also the standing corn and the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistines said, who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I avenge of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam. And the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah, and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are ye come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went up to the rock Etam, and went and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they spake unto him, saying, No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. When he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosened from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called the place Ramoth Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die with thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there water came thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Therefore he called the name thereof En-Hakkor, which is also in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Now quite the story. Various things going on here in Samson is one of those people that called of God and yet seems like he was always sort of not quite there. And yet God used him. But as I was reading this story, it was interesting to me what Samson thought. So the Philistines were looking for him. They came up to get him. His own countrymen turned him over. When he came down to that point where they were, where his enemies were, he just tore those ropes. Says as if they were burnt flax. Just didn't really hold anything. And a donkey must have died there in the recent past. And the birds had probably picked it clean. But there was at least the jaw of that donkey. And the jaw of a donkey is sort of long. And it actually has two bones that sort of come out like this. And they come together to a point where the front teeth are. And I don't know if it had both sides on it or not. They tell me it's fairly easy to break one side off. But either which way, he had himself a fairly substantial weapon that he grabbed from the front, right there by the front teeth. And he started slashing with that thing. And he killed 1,000 men with that. Quite the feat. Philistines were probably coming up against him with the normal stuff from those days, right? Spears and swords and everything else. And with the jaw of a donkey, he killed 1,000 men. Killed 1,000 men. Just one other thing that I noticed in this story was how sometimes we as the people of God can get ourselves under the power of the enemy just because, you know, he said so. They were trying to put Samson under the enemy. And they said, why are you making trouble? Why are you stirring stuff up? I mean, don't you know that the Philistines are ruling over us? Were they supposed to be ruling over them or not? No. God has said, you're not supposed to be under the Philistines. You're supposed to kill the Philistines. So Samson, in that desire to do what God had said, and what God had specifically called him to do, he took that jaw of that donkey and he went to war. And he killed 1,000 men. In verse 16, he tells us then what he did. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And I don't know if in the original this rhymed or anything like that. But I can just imagine Samson there. And this was a high place. This was a hill. And here he was. On this hill, there were a bunch of men dead around him. Heaps upon heaps. He had the jaw of the donkey in his hand. And he said, you know what? With the jaw of a donkey, I killed these men. With the jaw of a donkey, I killed heaps and heaps of people. And after he was done talking, he threw the jaw down. And he was done. Then he realized something. He realized he was thirsty. And he was very, very thirsty. You know, how much time would it take to kill 1,000 men? And they were coming at him and he was going after them. He would have exerted himself quite a bit, I would say. I mean, just the strength to chop at 1,000 men. I mean, have y'all chopped wood? Take an axe and chop 1,000 times. How do you feel? What if you would have to run around to do it yet? You can about imagine a little bit maybe what Samson went through. And this was a dry place as well. If y'all know, have ever been into desert places like that, you know how very, very soon you need a lot of water. So here he was. Came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramoth Lehi. Which means the height of or the lifting up of the jaw. It says, right here I lifted up this jaw and I killed heaps upon heaps. Right here with this jaw I did it. And he was sore athirst. And called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance unto the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again. And he revived. Therefore he called the name thereof En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. After he had killed those men, after he had made that great proclamation that he had done it with this jaw, then he realized he was very needy. And he realized who God was and how he needed God's help. And he can be glad he did that. That was who he went to. As I understand, there was no water in the area. It was a totally dry area. En-Hakor means the fountain of him who cries. See the difference? There's a difference in the attitude between Ramoth-Lehi and En-Hakor. There's a huge difference. There's a huge difference between I did it and God supplied. There's a big difference. And it's not like he didn't have to do it. He had to. I mean, it fell on his responsibility to go out and fight. Nobody else was doing it. The others had given up. Those 3,000 men, should have been able to kill those 1,000 of the Philistines. I think I have my numbers right there. Yeah, it was 3,000 men of Judah that came up. They should have been able to, but they didn't. And it fell to him. We have a work to do. All of us. Every last one of us has something to do that God has put on our plate to do. We are God's hands and God's feet in this world. God has placed us here very strategically to do His will and His work. But we have to remember that it's not us who did it. We're not the ones. Yes, we might have to do the fighting. But whose strength and whose power is undergirding us? Because, see, the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. He's the one who put us here. And that should give us a lot of courage as well. Because there's many times when we don't know what's up. There's lots of times that people are discouraged even. And that's why some people commit suicide. Said, why are we here? There's nothing for me to do. There's no reason for me to be here. This is too much. But the fact that we are alive today is because God, in His wisdom, first of all, formed us in our mother's womb. And He brought us to life. And has placed each one of us in the very exact place where He wants us and where He needs us. Now it's up to us if we are going to follow through with that purpose. Unfortunately, the majority of the world is not following through with the purpose that God would have for each of us. But as we work for God, whose strength is it? Is it me chopping down everyone with the jawbone of a donkey? Is it my strength? Or is it me recognizing, God, I need You. I need Your fountain. I need Your strength. Because otherwise, the uncircumcised are going to take over. I need you. It makes a huge difference. In our life, depending how we live it, it's also going to make a difference. It's still us doing it, right? But the attitude changes. And depending on the attitude, it also makes a huge difference who gets the glory. I don't know where those 3,000 men from Israel were. I wonder if they weren't back behind in some caves or somewhere looking out, and when Samson stood up. I mean, can you imagine what an imposing something would have been for him to be up on that hill, holding up the jawbone of the ass, and everybody else was down there dead? All his enemies were dead. And here he is. It could have been quite something to see. But that's not where he stayed. And we can do a lot of things in our own strength. And there's a lot of people who make very imposing figures and do many great things. But who gets the glory? Who gets the glory? Samson had to humble himself in order to receive something from God. And that's where we are as well. We have to. We have to humble ourselves. And there's many times when we come to those dry places where we need water and we need strength. Isaiah 41 and verse 17 and 18. Isaiah 41, 17 and 18. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. That is God's promise to us. That is what God wants to do for each one of us. But one thing, again, looking at this, was at these verses, was the thing, who are we? Who do we think we are, actually? When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. When the poor and the needy cry out, there are many poor and there are many needy today. But not all of them cry out. And just like Jesus said, He said, you all think you see. And then in Revelations it talks about how the church thought they had it all together. He said, you don't recognize. You're blind. You're naked. You have a whole bunch of problems, and yet you're not recognizing what actually is going on. See, they thought they had everything together. But when the poor and the needy, who recognize their need, cry out, that is when God can move. And that is when God moves as well.
He does. But it's when we come to that recognition, and when we actually come to the point where we say, Lord, it's not about me. Lord, it's not about this jawbone. I am needy. I need you. Please help me. That is when God can work. And there are many times in life when God sends us hard things. Deserts, so we'll ask for water. Scarcity, so we humble ourselves and ask for what we need. Problems, so that we ask for solutions. Difficulties, so that we ask for help. Pain, so that we seek comfort. And God can supply all these things according to the richness of His glory in heaven. He can and He will. But we've got to ask. We've got to come to the point where we recognize who we are and who our needs are. But as long as we stand here on the top of the hill with our jawbone, and we've done it, we can do it, we won't receive from God what we need. And that's also, you know, one of the reasons why we need to become vulnerable. We need to come to the point where we recognize our need. You know, for a lot of times, we as men especially have the problem that we don't cry. And we might be going through very difficult things. And they ask, so how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing just fine. I'm doing just fine. Really? We might be coping. But are we just fine? You know, when we actually come to the point of crying, then other people see, wow, he needs comfort. How many of you have been moved just by seeing it, someone who is just as relaxed and calm and just standing there? How many of you have felt like going over to that person and saying, you know, hey, brother, sister, you know, I feel for you. It doesn't work that way, does it? But how many of us, when we have seen someone cry and be in distress, how many of us have gone over and put our arm around them and say, we're praying for you. We're there for you. What can we help you with? But so many times, we've got it all together. We've got it all so shut. We have everything just right. We're fine. We're fine. And we cut ourselves off, first of all, from God's blessings. Because God can't help us. Because we're fine. We don't need God's help. And we also cut ourselves off from the many people around us who could help us through this difficult time, because we admit, you know what? I am needy. The Bible tells us, blessed are those who weep, for they shall be comforted. I'm literally translating from Spanish, okay? But that is what God does for us. But we've got to weep, because then we will find comfort.
Psalm 34. Psalm 34, beginning to read in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That's God's promise to us. And it doesn't mean that we're always going to have it easy. It doesn't mean that we're always going to have an abundance of the things that we want. But to all who seek Him, they will find. And for all who ask for God's richest blessings will receive. That is His promise. And I'm here to tell you that that is true. It is that way. It's not always easy. But God always gives His best to those who ask. But we've got to ask. And it'll make a difference what our attitude is. If our attitude is here standing on the hill, proclaiming that we've done it, or if we recognize the fountain is for the one who calls and who asks and for who cries out to God for help. That'll make a difference in our life. It'll make a difference. Like we're hearing devotional about where our names are written in the book as well. Or if it will or not. See, while I am standing here with the jawbone of the donkey, I'm standing here in my own pride. And I did it. And God's very clear in the Bible that those who are proud will not enter into life. We need to be humble. We need to come to the point where we recognize who we are and what our needs are. And the blessing is that God is more than willing and more than able to give an abundance of blessing, to open up fountains in places that didn't exist because His children asked. So may the Lord bless each one of us and help each one of us to ask so that we'll receive, to seek so that we'll find, to knock so that those doors will be opened. Not for us, not to make us look good, but so that His kingdom will come, and so that His will be done here on earth in us as it's done in heaven. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, again, we just thank You and we praise You because You have given Your children all of Your blessings. And You have made them all available to those who seek and to those who cry out to You in humility.
Father, continue to teach us of your ways. Continue to help us that we would truly reach out to you. Ask. For we are nothing. We are but unprofitable servants. Yet here we are, waiting on you, for you to fill us, so that your work can continue on this earth, so that your will would be done here on earth, in us, as it is in heaven. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for your great mercy and for your forgiveness. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You know, Samson has always been an interesting character in the Bible when I read about him, but I'm not sure that I ever quite thought of that passage in that way, the two different pictures of what we see in Samson there. On the one hand, he stands there in all his strength for what he did, and so quickly, a verse later, he recognizes just how needy he is. And isn't that just a picture of how we are in our lost condition? You know, we have life figured out. Many a young man, that was my testimony as a young man. I had the world by the tail. I had life figured out. But how quickly, when we recognize our poor lost condition, do we realize how poor and needy we are? That's the one thought that comes to my mind when I thought about what we heard this morning. And then, is it not true that as we go through life, at times things are going well, and how quickly the tables can turn? We heard about that this morning with the young man, the family, you know. They were going to have a Sunday afternoon meal get together, and how quickly the tables turned, and there is their son laying on the road, and life was gone. You know, we all really desperately need the grace of God, don't we? We all need the grace of God. There's none of us that really have this life figured out. And I know there's young people, probably young people here. Young people go in and out the doors that have life together, all the life ahead of them, and all of a sudden realize how needy we really are. And we can come broken before God and have our needs met. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. So thankful for that. So we have time here this morning. Maybe someone just wants to share their heart. Anything you have to share, testimony, a need, whatever it might be, raise your hand and we'll get a mic to you. In the back there.
When preachers start to preach about Samson, for me immediately was question, how he will translate or how he will explain who is Samson and why this Samson happened, that what happened. I was sitting near Tony and I asked him question, do you know who is Samson? He told, oh yes, I know. And I asked him question, would you like to hear, very be careful, and after I will ask you question, Samson was God, man of God. God did this Samson for parents, and God made him special something. Why he has in his life so much mess? When I think about this, I don't know his answer, how he will answer for this question, but this is a question for everyone and for me in my life. Why Samson was, God bless him and give him special purpose in his life, but he has so much mess in his life. And for today I come to this decision, or when I observe this, he did God's work, but not in the right way. Not in that way what God told him to do or God told parents to do. don't drink wine, and probably he live, not probably, definitely he live in that time when he has already 5 book of Moses. Don't drink wine, where he met a lion. Why he was walking near vinegar? And God told, don't touch dead one. And he eats that honey. And God told, don't play game with woman. And he play game with woman in not right way. So for some way, he did a lot of big work. But why he has mess? Because he took not right way to do that. Mm-hmm. This is why he has mess.
That's very good. Thank you. Anyone else? Ephraim up here, the front.
Thinking of Hebrews 12, verse 9 and 10. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. I was meditating on that this week about it being profitable to be partakers of God's holiness and just hoping that God would teach me in that what all that means, and that when there is correction that it could work that way. This message just, there's a lot to think about how, what must it look like to God to see the vast majority of humanity just going about life, enjoying all these blessings in this life, being so dependent upon Him, and yet not acknowledging Him, acting like we've got it all together, it's all about us. Not saying that we're that way, but the flesh tends to be that way. Yet here we are, take the breath of a man away and he's dead in a couple minutes. Take water from him, he's dead in a matter of days. Take food away and he might last for a month, but he'll be very weak long before that. And constantly going about our work, we can be a second from death if something happens, if something explodes, or if a driver loses control in front of us, or we fall off from something. We truly are so dependent upon Him. And part of being partaker of His holiness is recognizing how much we need Him, just like in the last one there in Hakori. Mm-hmm. The man that feels no need of God, feels like he's self-made whatever, there's no holiness there.
That's right.
But to just stop and realize just how much we need God, just how much everything I have is from Him, how much He deserves all the glory I could ever give Him, there's holiness there. And my desire is that God would work that in my life much more fully than it yet has been. Thank you, Brother Timo, for laboring in the Word, and Ken as well. It was good to be here.
Ken?
I agree, it is good to be here today. I'm pondering on some of the thoughts from all the messages with Brother Ken. With that idea of Moses talking about maybe his name being blotted out of that book of life, I wonder, we know that there's this age of accountability that was talked about. And so it seems like, and I would have to do a lot more looking into this, but are all the names written in that book of life to begin with, and then they're removed? They're removed. They're blotted out. They start there, but then they're taken out based on what that individual has chosen to do, which would speak to the idea that God knows us all. God sees every being that's ever been created. And those names are there And it's going to be the choice of the individual to have it removed. And to the children's lesson, yeah, when we see that Jesus behind each of those individuals, those people, their names might be written in that book of life also. Why are we treating them like that? They might be brothers and sisters in the Lord. Why are we throwing those darts that might be injuring them? So that was good. And then to look at that jawbone for just a moment. That same jawbone, if I understood that account correctly, that was picked up to be the taker of life of the Philistines, by Samson's own words, was the giver of life, because it was out of that jawbone that the water came. And so there's God showing himself to be as unique as always. When the serpents came in among the people and were killing them, Moses made a bronze snake fashioned after that death, that if you'd look at it, you'd live. And that's what Jesus told Nicodemus, that he is going to be that same way, that he's going to be put upon that cross and lifted up. And he's going to be held up there as that which is unworthy to live, that he's been executed and crucified. And yet if we'll look to him, we'll have life, and our names will be in that book of life. So again, I appreciate how this message is all blended together today.
In the back, Thelma? Way in the back, Thelma back.
I have to say, Timo is correct. I am completely amazed at the place God has found for us to move to, and the landlady, it seems, it hardly makes sense to her that it's available right here and now. And I'm so grateful to all of your prayers, and especially to God.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, if I could just add to that, it was a rich blessing how the Lord provided the home for Thelma. There was one that we'd looked at, I guess it was earlier in the week, and just didn't have a peace about it, and decided to give it a little time, see if the Lord wouldn't provide. And I think she told my wife it's the perfect fit. That's how she stated it. And so that's a blessing to see how God answers prayers like that. Praise the Lord. Is there someone? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
Yeah, I just want to thank the Lord for the message and the reminder again how we need to depend upon the Lord, not our own strength. Even if God does use us like he did Samson, you know, there can be still wrong attitudes and too often take the glory to ourselves, like seems like Samson did, but yet he did come to that place of humility there. But I'm blessed also with the example of the Apostle Paul, who was, you can maybe say, a very key, important figure in the formation of the church. And God used him in a mighty way. He wrote a large portion of the scriptures that we have in the New Testament. And yet he saw himself as being the least of the apostles. It says here in 1 Corinthians 15:9, I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And then he goes on to say, it's by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And so, while he didn't deny that he had labored abundantly, yet he acknowledged that it was God's grace that was working through him and enabled him. And so I want to take that to heart and labor with the grace of God, not in my own strength, recognizing that however he may use me, it's only by his grace.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.